Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is Set the Alarm Clock. Based on our reading from Mark 13 on this last Sunday of the church year, these verses, Jesus said, "But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come." Again, our theme, Set the Alarm Clock. You're invited to follow along on the sermon outline in the bulletin. It's a blue sheet this morning. Don't make me set that two or three times during the sermon to wake you up. Alarm clocks. Many of us don't like them. But many of us need them to wake us up out of a deep sleep. And the purpose for alarm clocks and wake-up calls is to alert to us that something important is about to happen and we shouldn't miss it by sleeping through it. Today's sermon text from Mark 13, is an alarm clock wake-up call. The text tells us that Jesus will return at the end of the world and no one knows exactly when. Verse 32, no one knows, only the Father. And Scripture doesn't even tell us when that last day will be. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we read these words, "That day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." I ask you, when does a thief come at nighttime? When we don't expect him to come. And so what are we to do as we're waiting for this day of the Lord, even if we don't know exactly when it will be? Verse 33 says, "Be on guard. Keep awake, for you don't know when the time will come." British explorer Sir Ernest Shackleton was exploring the South Pole. And he left a number of his men on this section of land and said he'd come back for them when he could. But the ice closed upon this area and his ship could not get through. And his men spent many a frigid night waiting for him till one day finally the ice separated and his ship could get back to them. And he found them waiting for him with bags packed, with sleeping bags rolled up, with all their belongings. And he said, "How did you know? How did you know today was the day I was going to come back?" And they said to him, "Sir Shackleton, we never gave up hope. Whenever the sun shone, whenever the ice began to move, we packed up all of our belongings. We told ourselves, this could be the day. This could be the day when he comes back, and we want to be ready for him." Mark's gospel says, God's people are to be faithful and to be alert. Who's to say? Who's to say tomorrow morning may never come? Who's to say that today might be the day when our Lord comes back with the angels to bring us to Him forever, ushering in the end of this present world? So the gospel says we are to be watching and to keep ready. But I ask you, are your bags packed? Are your bags packed? And are you ready for your own death? Are you ready for the end of time and judgment day? Just a few weeks ago, on All Saints Sunday, November 1st, we talked about being prepared ahead of time. At the end of the service, we even had Ellen Schellenberg in the narthex handing out planning information sheets for us to plan our wills, our funerals, getting our papers in order. I wonder how many of us have got those things prepared. If the end of your life came tomorrow, If the end of the world came tomorrow, the text asks all of us, are you ready? This day, Jesus says through the Gospel of Mark, will come when we least expect it. In our 1 Thessalonians text we read earlier, it said that day will come like a thief in the night. In Mark 13, the text says it's like a master who's been away for a long time on a journey. And one day he suddenly shows up at his palace to find the servants asleep and not ready. Listen to verses 34 and 35 of the gospel reading again. Jesus says, it's like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home, he puts his servants in charge, each with his own work. And he asked the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you don't know when the master of the house will come back in the evening, at midnight, when the cock crows, or in the morning. But the truth is, so many people today have nodded off, have spiritually fallen asleep, have ceased watching, and are totally unprepared. Today's text likens people who are not ready for Jesus' second coming like doorkeepers in the master's house who have fallen asleep at the watch. Listen to 36 and 37 verses. Lest he come back suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Why do so many around us nod off? Why do so many, even during sermons, find them paying attention to something going on here? Something going on here. Something going on here. Why do we spiritually fall asleep when the Lord is saying, I am coming back at any time? Are you ready? Let's talk about two classifications of people. Unbelievers and believers. First, unbelievers. Some just don't care. And the theme of their life is eat, drink, and be merry. Some are so wrapped up in this present life, they have never paused even to consider issues of eternity. And some unbelievers have never thought about it because one of their Christian friends or family members have never taken the opportunity to talk to them about the hope we have in Jesus coming again. But lest we spend our life pointing a finger out there, let's point three back at ourselves and ask, how come so many believers have nodded off? Well, because so many of us simply never think about Judgment Day. That's why we should give thanks to God for the calendar of the church year. It's a cycle of life. This Sunday especially, and the next Sundays of Advent, are all asking the same question. Are you ready? And not just, are you ready for Christmas, meaning presents and goodies and trees. Are you ready for the first coming of that Christ child to be born in your heart anew, even as he was born in the Bethlehem's manger? But even more especially, are we ready for that morning we open the windows and the Lord is coming back in glory to usher in the judgment of the world? So many believers simply just don't think about Judgment Day. So many believers have exchanged godly priorities for the priorities of the unbelieving world around us and have set the things of God aside. Some believers are simply spiritually lazy. To be unprepared for Judgment Day, says Holy Scripture, could be an eternal tragedy. This coming tragedy reminds us of a tragedy that happened in 79 AD to a Roman city named Pompeii when a volcano entitled Mount Vesuvius erupted. not long ago in the National Geographic magazine. There was a whole spread of colored photos and drawings trying to depict that fateful day. In 79 AD, the Mount Vesuvius blew, and all the people in that town were covered with volcanic ash and soot and frozen for all eternity in their place, covered. Men and women who were in the marketplace, the rich who were in their luxurious baths, the slaves at work in the fields, died amidst this terrible sudden explosion, covered forever. It takes little imagination to imagine the panic of that day. But the saddest part of that day was these people did not have to die. Scientists confirm what ancient Roman writers recorded, that weeks and weeks of rumblings and shakings of that mountain preceded the eruption. Up to the very day before the mountain erupted, a plume of smoke was going through that up that volcano. But the people did not pay attention. If only they had paid attention to the signs. What does it mean, O child of God, to be ready? Today's second reading from Jude tells us, it's really a delight. We hardly ever get a scripture reading from the book of Jude. It's one chapter. In this book of Jude, he gives us a list of things to help us to be ready for Jesus' second coming. So today, especially, take home your sermon outline. Take home your bulletin. Spend more time with this checkoff list that Jude gives us on how to be ready. Right now, with the brief time we have, just a quick mention of what he says. First of all, Jude says to be ready for the Lord's second coming, we need to be built up in the holy faith. Verse 20. There is no better way to be ready for Jesus' second coming. There is no better way to be ready for Jesus' judgment day. There is no better way to be ready for our own end of life and the day of our death than for us to be built up in the holy faith. Day after day, week after week, year after year, consistent in attendance in God's house for worship, to hear His word preached, to be in Bible class and Sunday school, to be built up in our holy faith so we're ready every day. Next, Jude says, the way to be ready is to keep yourselves in God's love, verse 21. That is, staying close to your loving Savior. What means has God provided to keep us close to His love? First of all, His Word preached and taught. Second of all, His Supper, the very body and blood of Jesus given for the forgiveness of our sins. And thirdly, the fellowship of the Christian church, brothers and sisters in Christ. These are the means God gives us to keep us close to His love. Jude goes on. Another way to be ready for Christ's second coming, he calls showing mercy to the weak. Verse 22 says, have mercy on those who doubt. Until that final day, we who know God's mercy and love and forgiveness in Jesus Christ are to be those people who freely give away God's mercy, give away God's love, give away God's forgiveness to people who are weak in faith or who have been beaten down by the sins in their lives. Jude also says, another way to be ready, verse 23, is to be busy snatching others from the fire. Interesting phrase, snatching others from the fire. It means God's people, with proper humility and love, showing other people the errors of their ways. warning other people of the path in their life that could lead to hell, guiding them to the nail-pierced hands of the Savior. But in all humility, as a fellow sinner, not as one who is without sin. And finally, Jude says, a way to be ready is to be a people who hate sin and who hate ungodliness. This week, I spent almost an hour in my study with a young woman from our church who had some wonderful questions. But why is it, she said, that so many Christians just feel they've been forgiven so they can do anything they want because they know they'll always be forgiven? The scripture says that's like crucifying our Lord all over again. We want to live as God's holy people. We want to hate sin, not to earn forgiveness, but to say to our Lord, thank you for all you've done for us. Jude says, a way to be ready, verse 23, his words are, hating even the garment that's stained by the sinful flesh. That means we are to be asking God to form us and shape us into His holy people. People who are set apart from the world. People who turn their backs to sin. People who live with a radically different set of priorities and goals and lifestyles than unbelievers all around us. Now, all of these things, Jude said, are only possible because we are upheld by Jesus. Verse 24 says, upheld by Jesus, He is able to keep you from stumbling. And so in the last part of this sermon, Jude lists those three ways that Jesus upholds us so we can be ready for the day of judgment. Listen to the last part of Jude's writing. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be the glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and forevermore. Amen. Here, Jude says, are the three things your Savior does for you to keep you standing and ready for the last day. First of all, he says, He is able to keep you from falling. He is able. He is able. Those same strong hands of Jesus that were nailed to the cross of Calvary, bearing your sins and the sins of the world, are those same strong hands that are even now wrapped around you and wrapped around me to support us, to strengthen us, to keep us from falling. So that, as Don said in the children's message, when the day of judgment comes, upheld by His strong hands, we can look forward to that day because it's a day He will take us home. And Jude says, on that day, point two, He will bring you into God's glorious presence. With your faith placed in Him and Him alone, on that last day of your life, or on that judgment day, whichever comes first, our Lord Jesus will take you and stand you before the almighty presence of God, declaring, Father, here is one for whom my blood is shed. Her sins are forgiven. His iniquities are washed away. They can stand before you forever. And best of all, Jude says, On that day, you will be without fault. You will be without sin. You will be blameless because of what Jesus has done for you. Your sin, your guilt, your sorrow washed away in the crimson blood of the Lamb who died for you on Calvary's cross. That same Lord who is coming back soon. And so we pray the last prayer of the Holy Bible. Maranatha, Lord, come quickly and take us home to be with You forever. After services today, Beverly and I, as is our custom, will be visiting one of our elderly members who's tired, who's been hurting for so very long, whose prayer every day is this: Lord Jesus, I'm ready. You can take me home forever. This is not a prayer of resignation. This is a prayer of joyful anticipation when she can stand before her Lord forever, whole and pure and healed and strong. This is the day for which we're all waiting. Revelation puts it this way. Revelation 21, verse 4. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no longer any crying, any pain, any sorrow, for the old things have passed away. Hooray for alarm clocks. Hooray for wake-up calls, child of God. May every time you hear an alarm clock be not an excuse to say, good Lord, it's morning, but to say, good morning, Lord. This could be the day. May every time you hear an alarm clock be a reminder that judgment day, that heaven is coming soon. And with that day, eternal joy, eternal victory for you, O child of God, forever. In the name of him who loved us and gave himself for us, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We now worship our Lord with his offering.